Oh, praise God. You know, one of the things that the Ten Commandments talks about, I just want to share this before we get going, is the first thing it says, the word of what? Love the Lord our God, right? With all of our what?
Hearts,
minds, and strength, you know. And that we're not to have any other gods before us. And it's really important because the devil has a tendency to try to put gods before us. In fact, we can be our own God. Amen. So there's a place where you and I must get and desire to get to where we are become totally committed. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Totally committed. Now, there are times when we begin to fade away from total commitment. And then there's times when we're willing to be so totally committed that it doesn't matter what people think about us. It doesn't matter about anything, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill the will of God and its purpose. But there are those times when we falter and begin to slide back in those areas. But you know, the one thing that we must do is continue to shake the dust off, get up, and get back into that position where you and I are totally committed. Totally committed. Totally committed. I see a lot of men come through our discipleship house who've completed and gone on, and they were not totally committed. And they'll end up falling. Because if you're not totally committed, that means that there's something still open to us. And where there's deception is, that means that there's a pathway of darkness. And where there's a pathway of darkness, that means the devil has a place there and he can get to you. And we must be totally committed. When we're totally committed, light shines in us and through us in every area of our life. It doesn't matter. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what we did is we said, I give you my life. I give you my life. So many times then, after a period of time, after we've given him our life, he begins to answer our prayers. Things begin to happen, and next thing we knew, we begin to trust in just things that are going to happen when we stop being totally committed. And then things are not falling into place the way that we expect them, right? And then we get frustrated because things aren't going our way. And the problem is because we've lost sight of being totally committed. We've backed off from our commitment to the Lord in every area of our life. Every area. That's why he says, you must love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength. You must love me. In other words, you must do everything in your power to maintain the power of Christ in you. Does everybody see? So we have a choice. We must be totally, totally committed. The Bible says that wisdom and reverence to God is to depart from evil. That's totally committed to God. Someone that is obedient to the Word of God is committed to God. Now, we know that we must be submissive and obedient to the Word of God, but then we must be submissive and obedient to the voice of the Lord. That's totally committed in two of those areas. Totally committed. Totally committed, and not only in our labor to the Lord, in our finances, in our way of life, everything must be totally committed to Him. Or you know what? We'll falter short. Falter short. There isn't one person that gets a hundredfold return that is not totally committed. You must be totally committed. Totally committed. And it's not just a one-time event. It's continuous. Every day, your life must be for Christ. The day that your life is for you is when you fall short of being totally committed. It must be totally committed because you and I are in a temporary state, aren't we? And if we get caught up in this temporary state, we become temporary. Now, we want to stay caught up in the eternal estate, don't we? That's where you and I must be totally committed in every area. Would you turn to Psalm 14? Let's start at verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know how many times that people have said, even though they're believers, have said, oh, God can't do it. You know what they just said? There is no God. Come on, think about it. The only times we've rejected the Lord, we've said there is no God. Well, you know, I believe that there's a God, but, you know, I don't believe he can do this. He might be able to do it for somebody else, but not me. You know what I mean? Well, he calls us a fool. I call them boneheads. Carnal minded. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Now we know that none of us can do good, can we? In our own strength. Our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Right? The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and seek God. That's an individual that's committed. In fact, Daniel had said, and the angel that came to Daniel, he said, the moment you put your heart to understand, right? You remember that? That the angel of the Lord came. In other words, the moment you humbled yourself and you put your heart to understand, because you were one who was committed to the Lord, totally committed, and God revealed to you things because you were totally committed, and God sent an angel of the Lord to answer his prayer. He said, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? And do not call on the Lord. You know, the Lord said to me today in prayer, it ripped my heart. He said, my people only call me Father when they want me, when they need something. Other than that, I'm a storekeeper. I said, whoa, Dad. He said, but I want my children to know that I am Father, not storekeeper.
Amen.
I'm not a storekeeper. I am a father who's willing to give all things to my children who are willing to be totally committed to me as I am totally committed to them. There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Those who understand and seek the Lord, they must be committed, because you can't understand without seeking God, and you can't be committed. We must become and make a choice to be totally committed to the ways of God, to do his will. That's why the Bible says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. That's a spiritual formula, you know? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. That means that you will be totally committed in every area of your life, no matter what it is. You know, so many times we fall into that place, and we've shared this before, that what we own, we think we've earned. Man, I worked hard for that. The Lord blessed me because I worked so hard. No, he blessed you no matter what.
Amen.
He supplied you the talent to work, supplied you the job, and gave you the raise and did all these other things. And then we should tell him what we should do with his money. Then we should tell him what we should do with what we bought. Remember, everything is his. If you're totally committed, then you're a steward to all things. All things. In other words, nothing is yours. You're partners with the Lord. You're partners with him. And when we started Vine of Life Ministries, we partnered. I asked the Lord, what was what, when, how, and where? And as he opened the doors and blessed things and whatever, and then there was a time he said, put it on the shelf. Okay? You're my partner. I mean, you know. You're the chairman of the board. Amen. But if you're totally committed, you know, people that are not totally committed try to manipulate God. Besides others. That's a fruit of manipulation. But they manipulate God to get what they want, or they express that the blessing was from God, even though it affected them. Oh, the Lord blessed me with this. No problem. Yeah, my car payment's $6,000 a month. Yeah, God blessed me with this job, but yeah, if everything falls out of place, how am I going to get there? I don't know. And so forth. There's so much foolishness, so much selfishness, so much childishness, and so much immaturity. And God is trying to bring us to that place of maturing by being totally committed. Let me share something with you. The Lord also shared a few other things with me, but I can't express them, but I can only express a couple things. And the one thing is that He is expressing that, and I've shared this before, there is a boat. It's like a warring vessel. It's a warring vessel. And one of the things that He is saying, there'll be no rebellion on His ship.
Amen.
None. There'll be no rebellion on His ship. Look what happened to Jonah. Even Jonah got thrown off the boat because he rebelled against God. Amen? There's no rebellion on His ship. Everything is in decent in order. Everyone moves in divine order. Because the move of the Spirit is either going to bring people to another level or move them out of the way. There is a great point out of the Spirit that's happening, and its waves are hitting all over the world. I had a dream 10 years ago of things that are happening. And it's blowing my mind. I'm still waiting for the other fulfillment. And I know that when certain things are going to happen, the Lord is going to return. Because I saw it. And we're close. But we're not there yet. But we're close. So other things have to happen. I know that the final end was when I saw the light. I heard this enormous explosion. And there was nothing but light. And the whole, everything changed. And I knew in my spirit that it was the Lord's return. And I had that after being a baby about 2 or 3 weeks old when the Lord brought me in the Spirit. And what He's asking is for total commitment from each and every one of us. Hey, we may falter a little bit. We're not perfect. But you know what the thing is we must constantly strive and keep going to be totally committed to His will and to His way, no matter what it costs, no matter what. Not a pleaser of men, but a pleaser of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Revelation 17. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation 17 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. And those who are with Him, those who are totally committed, are called faithful. They're called faithful. So understand that the word faithful represents that somebody is totally committed. Amen? Now we see that there is going to be war, isn't it? It says that they warred against the Lamb. Let me share something with you. If you think that being totally committed there won't be any resistance, then you're deceived.
Amen.
The devil's going to resist and cause you to resist you from doing the will of God, from being totally committed. He's just going to try and compromise you. He's going to try and cause you to get caught up with problems and circumstances of today. He's going to try and cause you into the circumstance of being common to the things of man. You know, I've shared this before and how the world is clinical. Everything is clinical. Well, if you got this sickness, it's clinical. If you've got this, it's clinical. Everything is clinical. Even the word recovery is clinical. Everybody's recovering from something. Everybody's clinically nuts. They've been clinically deceived. Believe me, we're not recovering. We're not recovering from things. We're working on a relationship. There's a difference between clinical and the truth. You know, people are trying to fix things in the flesh when it starts in the spirit. If they'll go to the spirit first, they'll find that the flesh will be healed. One way or another. Not that we're not supposed to let our flesh just falter. We're supposed to maintain our flesh. But those who get so caught up in maintaining their flesh and not their spirit are not totally committed. There are people who are more committed to their health than they are to doing the will of God. There are people who are more committed to their job and their money than they are to do the will of God. Man, let me tell you, they can get up to go to work 5 and 6 days a week, 8 and 10 hours a day. But there are some you can't even bring to church. They kick and scream to do the will of God. Because they're not totally committed. God cannot use someone that's not totally committed, because that's a representation of faithful.
Amen.
Faithful. Amen? Faithful. Go to Proverbs 28. Now, how many of y'all know that you got to make that choice, right?
Amen.
You've got to make that choice to be totally committed. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Let's read this together, okay? A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. That's someone that chooses to be unfaithful to the will of God, and more faithful to the finances in the world. Amen? See, the greatest blessings that you and I can have is God's presence.
Amen.
God's revelation.
Amen.
Whoa, man! See, we know that when we get blessed financially or whatever, we know that it's from the Lord. And what we do with that finance or that blessing, we say, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Not thank you. I'll just go spend it on what I want. We say, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? If we come into the place of totally committed, no matter what we do, no matter what it is, in purchase of whatever it is, vehicles, whatever, we're always looking towards, Lord, he says, seek counsel.
Amen.
We're always asking him, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? Every time the finances come into the ministry, because we tithe everything that comes in, and offerings, besides that, there's more that goes out. I always ask the Lord every time, Lord, do you want me to do this? Sometimes they'll tell me, I want you to bless this individual, but I still want you to tithe, and I want you to bless this. And I'm like, okay, and you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get more.
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
He's trying to get more to me. But he wants me to plant it in the places that I can get a hundredfold return.
Amen.
Far be it that we should miss the blessing of the Lord. You know? Understand something, because if you are totally committed, you understand the ways of God. And you understand how he moves. You understand. Believe me, and I've shared this over and over and over. The Lord shared it with me on a Friday. I want you to give $1,000 to a ministry. And there was only about $1,000 in there. Of course, I made the excuse and said I didn't know where to send it. And he said to me, I know where he's going to be. So he sent me there. And the man showed up late, but anyways, I gave him and I knew in my spirit the Lord was trying to get something to me as a blessing. And when I gladly wrote the man the check and whatever, that was on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came over to this house and wrote a $4,700-and-something check and gave it to the ministry. That was a good return. You know what I said? Okay, what's next? Where are we going now? It doesn't always happen that way, does it?
No.
Doesn't always happen. So, but we're not looking just to get back. We want to be obedient to the Lord. But see, he showed that to me to let me know that he's not trying to take from me. He's trying to get to me. But you know, if you're not totally committed to the Lord, you'll think, you'll grumble and complain about everything.
Amen.
Oh man, forget it. You know this, that. This can't be God. How would you know? You don't even know him. Right? How would you know? If you knew, if you're totally committed to the Lord, you would know. I get a lot of people that are call me from places and detox. I've been a minister for such and such years, and I've been, what have you been? Well, I've been sleeping with this girl for a long time. Well, you've been a minister? Well, obviously you didn't know the Lord if you've been living with the girl for 2 or 3 years. Whoever ordained you is in trouble. Must have been one of those mail order ones. Hallelujah. And did we go to verse 21 yet?
No.
Let's go there. Let's start at verse 20 again. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider the poverty, that poverty will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will what? Be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Now that's some powerful things, isn't it? Go to Proverbs 20. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20, verses 5 and 6. There's a powerful song by a ministry, I think it's called Committed. Totally Committed is their first song. I think that's the name of the group. Totally Committed. We should play it on outreaches right in the beginning. It's a powerful song. Totally Committed. And verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Why? Because he's totally committed. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Why? Because he is totally committed. Totally committed. Let's go to Luke 16. So he who is faithful is totally committed, right? Luke 16. Hallelujah. In verse 10. Would you read it with me? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now, you know, that's pretty powerful. Because, you know, the Bible says you know them by their fruit. If they're unjust in a little, man, let me tell you something. They're unjust in more than just that. You know. And having a discipleship house, we understand that people come from a transition and they're still going through some of the transitions of being You know, there's still certain things of unjustness and all this. But these are transitions where people come through. But the whole thing is if we're totally committed, we're willing to do whatever it takes, knowing and trusting God. You know, one of the greatest things that you and I can do is totally be honest. Just totally be honest. No. Totally be honest. See, when we're totally honest, we've started the stage of being totally committed. No matter what it is, being totally honest. Now, some people think that totally honest is deception. In other words, they speak of deception. Well, I'll be totally honest. This is how I feel. Well, the problem is how you feel is deception. So let me tell you what the truth is. You know what I'm saying? So they want to be totally honest. Some people are so totally honest, they go up to people and hurt them by what they say. That's not wisdom, that's stupidity. And that's not God. Hi, I'd like to tell you how I think about you. God says be totally honest. Well, if you're totally complete, committed to God, you're going to God first and knowing what you're supposed to say. Hallelujah. Therefore, in verse 11, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Wow. Who's going to commit to you? In other words, how is God going to trust you if you don't know how to handle the finances now? Now, you know, finance is the number one stumbling block. Oh, man, as soon as people get money in their hands, they just want to bam, 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 and not say, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? They just lose sight that it's not their money anyways. It's God's money. It's His money. Yeah, but I worked hard for it. Yeah, but God supplied the labor. You know, I've had people who've later on, who've done foolish things with their finances and whatever, and then later, there was someone in need that come across their path and they couldn't bless them because of their foolishness with their finances. And I believe that was ordained by God to let them know. Because the Bible says, labor to the Lord so that you may have something to help someone else. Help someone else. See, the Lord is our shepherd. We will not want. In other words, we won't lack. He'll meet every one of your needs according to His riches and glory and far above all you could ever ask or think. Now what He's going to do after He meets that and gives you abundant blessings, what are you going to do with it? This is how we're tested. Hey, let me tell you something. Many times, finances will come in, and it's like, you know what? I need more money, Lord. I need more money to make ends meet. There's times when my wife, who's on our payroll now, turns in her check because we're meeting other people's needs. Now, I don't draw a check, but to God be the glory. God meets all of my needs. See, because of our total commitment, it doesn't matter. God always makes a way. We couldn't afford a car, but He blessed us with two of them. You know, I mean, praise God. I mean, we didn't have to buy a car. Why? But we had many cars come to us that we sold. Because the Lord said, give this car. Give this car. Do whatever. This one's not for you. This one's not for you. When we got these other ones, I was like, is this for us? This one's for you. Hallelujah! You know? So whatever we do, we've got to look at, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do with what you just gave me? Is it for me? Is it for someone else? What's what? You know, but there are times I get tempted. It's like, you know what, Lord? If I didn't give this amount of money to tithing, I could make this bill. But you know what? Every time I give them money, He pays it. He has never, never, never failed me. Never. Never. He may show up at the last second. He loves to hang me off the cliff. But He shows up every time. He has never, never failed me. Never. But I'll tell you what, he tests me. He tests me. You know? And then I hear other people. I hear about all the, what other people are doing. You know, whether it's in a ministry or whatever. I remember calling one ministry one time and trying to get some help from something they said. And I just said, well, who do you tie to? We don't tie to. We're the storehouse. I thought, whoa. And I thought, man, how can you guys be blessed? Come to find out, they're struggling later.
Amen.
See, but they were abundant at the period of time, but now they're struggling. In fact, I don't even know if they are anymore. I don't even know if they are. We're the storehouse. Yes, ministries are storehouses, but storehouses are also to support those other places. This ministry supports places where we can't be. I can't be out there to give that child a sandwich in another country, but our finances are out there doing it.
Amen?
Amen? Whatever it is, Sudan, wherever, this little ministry gave $50,000+ away last year, and we sure could have used the money to feeding children, because my heart has been turned to women and children now. It's always been in the men, but now the Lord's expanding it. And He's preparing my heart as He's preparing others. One of the things He's going to do is check me with finances. He's not going to give me $1 million if I can't be a steward of it. Now, there are many people who have gone in debt to borrow $1 million. Hello? But I'm not one of those. And I'm not going to. The Lord will supply Him whatever it is He wants us to do. As long as we're faithful. And if you're completely sold out to Him, He'll meet your need. But you can't give up. It doesn't happen overnight. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? See, we've got really got to get this mentality out of us of poverty.
Amen.
No. Of poverty. Let's see. While the food is there, I can eat all I can. So nobody else can get it. That's called poor mentality. That's not totally committed. Let's see if all of this here is for me, or if this is whatever. In other words, there's a mentality of getting all that you can while you can. Do you know what I'm saying? Getting all you can while you can. That's immaturity. And that's not totally committed to the Lord. Because our thoughts and our heart should be, who needs it? Who needs it? Because I know the Lord makes a way for my needs. Who needs it? Even when all the food comes in that we pick up every single day, and so forth, we distribute it to the discipleship houses and some of the rest to the houses that it's overflow. And then we bring the rest down to the place where they feed over on OBT in downtown. And we give other, you know, wherever we can to help families in one way or another. Why? I'm not going to throw it out. I mean, it's not sin to throw it out, but there are those who are in need. So we make the extra trips to get it where it's supposed to be. In other words, Lord, what do we do with this extra food? Amen? You know what it is? We're sowing into other people's lives. Jesus said, feed them. Shelter them. Clothe them. Comfort them. Not only give them spiritual, but give them material and what they need. Hallelujah. And verse 13. No servant, come on, read it with me. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wow. Money seems to be a big struggle. And let me share something with you. You cannot qualify anyone by how much wealth they have. You don't qualify their spirituality or godliness by their wealth or blessings. You tell them by their fruit. Amen? You tell them by their fruit. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little bit further on this. Let me share a couple quick things here. A committed person is faithful with a little, and he knows he gets increases. Unfaithful individuals are double-minded and unstable in all their ways, and it tells us in James. Go to James chapter 1. You might as well see it. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. In verse 7 and 8. Would you read it with me? For let not that person or that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In all his ways, not just some. In all his ways. So someone who is totally not committed is unstable in all of his ways. Now, number one is somebody who is uncommitted will always turn against you. Somebody who is not totally committed will turn against you. They'll say, number two is, the thing is you never know when they're going to turn against you. They'll be your friend, and then they'll turn against you because they're unstable. They are not totally committed. An individual that is totally committed will never turn against you. But number one, person that's unstable or uncommitted will turn against you, and you never know when it's going to happen. Number two, the individual will say one thing and do another. He'll be undependable. Number three, an uncommitted individual will be resentful and not thankful. He'll be resentful and not thankful. Number one, he'll turn against you. And you'll never know when, he says. Number two, says one thing and does another, making that individual undependable. Number three, that individual will be resentful and not thankful. Number four, that individual will not be able to complete assignments. Can't complete assignments. Number five, the individual will be selfish and greedy because they're not totally committed. Number four is can't complete assignments. Number five, selfish and greedy. Number six, they will alter the assignments for shortcuts because of laziness. Because they're not totally committed. Because an individual that's totally committed will do the right thing no matter what. Let me say that again. Alter assignments for shortcuts because of laziness. Number seven. The uncommitted individual will be totally unpredictable because they'll be led by feelings and the voice of the stranger. They will totally be unpredictable because led by feelings and the voice of the stranger. And number eight, the individual will not advance in the kingdom of God. Stay stagnant and try to be self-promoting. Want me to repeat them? Number one, turn against you. You never know when. Number two, say one thing and do another. Undependable. Number three, the person will be resentful and not thankful. Number four, the person cannot complete assignments. Number five, the person will be selfish and greedy. Number six, the person will alter assignments for shortcuts because of laziness. And number seven, they'll be totally unpredictable because they'll be led by your feelings and the voice of the stranger. And number eight, will not advance in the kingdom of God, but will be self-promoting and not promoted by the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. So now you can check your own fruit. First Corinthians chapter 4. I should add on that individual will never go the extra mile either.
Amen.
Just do what it takes, and that's that. Never go the extra mile. First Corinthians chapter 4. And verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, or what? Totally committed. Totally committed. Now, what is a totally committed individual? He's a steward that's found faithful, right? Okay. That, number one, you ready? A totally committed individual is trustworthy, and they won't turn, but they'll wait for direction. They'll be trustworthy, waiting for direction. Trustworthy, waiting for direction. Number two, they'll be dependable to see things through no matter what the cost. Number one, they'll be trustworthy, waiting for direction. Number two, they'll be dependable to see things through no matter what the cost. Number three, they'll be grateful and thankful for what they have. Grateful and thankful for what they have. Anybody get it? Number two is dependable to see things through no matter what the cost. Number three, they'll be grateful and thankful at what they have. Number four, they will complete assignments as though it was their own. They'll complete assignments as though it was their own. Number five, they'll be loyal to the call of their position. No matter what position they're in, they'll be loyal. Number six, they'll be stable and unwavering. They will be stable and unwavering. Number seven, they're willing to start at the bottom with trust in God. Hallelujah. Willing to start at the bottom with trust in God. Number eight, willing to give of self to expand the kingdom. willing to give up self to expand the kingdom. And number 9, despises unrighteousness. Despises unrighteousness. Exposes it, doesn't propose it. Number 1 is trustworthy, waits for direction. Number 2, dependable to see things through no matter what the cost. Number 3 is grateful and thankful at what they have. Number 4, completes assignments as though it was their own. Number 5, loyal to the call of their position. Number 6, stable and unwavering. Number 7, willing to start at the bottom with trust in God. Number 8, willing to give of self to expand the kingdom. And number 9, despises unrighteousness, willing to expose it and not propose it. Revelation chapter 2. And hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Someone who is totally committed is faithful unto death. God will ask you more than once, will you die for me? Will you die for me? In fact, someone who is totally committed, you will hear that at least once a week. At least. Will you die for me? That individual looks at the eternal purpose and not the temporary purpose. Someone is totally committed. Colossians chapter 4. Hallelujah. And don't worry, if God hasn't asked you if you'll die from Him, you'll hear me ask you if you'll die from Him. Praise God. Man, I haven't heard God ask me. Don't worry, you'll hear it from here. Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 5. Hallelujah. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech also be always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Titus is a beloved brother, what? Faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Will tell you all the news about me. Now, this is Paul sending him a letter, isn't it? Now, Paul, he's saying, listen, he's an individual that's been totally committed. He'll tell you everything about me. I know that he won't exaggerate. I know that he won't go below or beyond what he is told. He's going to tell you what he's been told. Because Paul knew him. He could trust him. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and what? Comfort your hearts. Because he could trust him. He was totally committed. With Onesimus, whatever that is, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. So he was trusting this information to those who were totally committed. Amen? Hallelujah. And there's a bunch of others here that are totally committed. We don't need to go through all their names. But anyways, they were known as faithful ministers and servants sent by Paul, because they were committed to tell the truth and they were trusted by God. Amen? They earned the trust of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. Some of us are still waiting to get in position. Some of us still have a heart that there are certain things that we want, but you know what? We've got to earn the trust of the Lord. We must be totally committed. Totally committed. Sometimes people don't want to wait. So they'll go through a drive-thru. They go through the drive-thru, and you know what happens? They don't last. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. It's 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere and every church. Timothy was a faithful son of the Lord. He was what? Totally committed. Totally committed. Go to Luke 12. You know, how many times, you know, even when you're out on the job, don't you have to earn the trust of your boss? He wants to see if you're committed to do the right thing. He wants to make sure you're not skimping, shortcutting. And when he asks you to paint blue, he wants to make sure you're not painting purple. When he asks you to do something, he wants to get to the point where he doesn't have to follow you up. Because if you're totally committed, then you don't have to be followed up. Hallelujah. Luke 12. He knows that you're going to do the right job. He can trust you. But if you're not totally committed, you won't have the trust of God. And you won't have the trust of man. And verse 42. Read it with me, please. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household and give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion to the unbelievers. Wow. So forget it. I'm not even going to give it. I'll give it to the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will, that knew his master's will because he was totally committed, right? And did not prepare himself, or did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So here's an individual that knew the will of God, right, but didn't do it. So he wasn't totally committed, was he? He knew what he was supposed to do, and he was, you know what? It was an individual that he knew what was expected of him, but chose to do it his or her way. You know, some people think they got to pray for everything. Oh, I got to pray about it. When God is saying, you don't need to pray about it. You know exactly what I expect from you. Amen. You know what I expect from you.
Amen.
Well, let me pray about it.
Okay,
give me a break. I get people that tell me that I need to pray about it, and I'm like, you need to pray about it? You know, I can tell that person's not totally committed. Because you know what? They had a discernment that what was happening was of the Lord or not.
Amen.
See, someone who's totally committed spends enough time with God to know. They go to the secret place. They seek the kingdom, knowing all things will be added unto them. They know. They know. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be what? Required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Amen. So what you and I know already, we're accountable for. You can't shrug it aside and say, oh Lord, I didn't know. He's saying you did know. You were there nodding your head and agreeing and everything that was told to you. You just chose not to be submissive and to obey. You knew exactly what you needed to do, and you chose not to because you're not totally committed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to Daniel 6. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help me. Yeah. Daniel 6. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Totally committed. Now we're gonna skip through this verse in certain places. This is powerful about being totally committed. In verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. So he's putting people who were totally committed, that he trusted, right? Faithful. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. What spirit was that? Amen. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or any fault, because he was what?
Faithful.
He was completely sold out. Totally committed. Nor was there any error or fault found in him, because even though he was a servant of the Lord under a king that wasn't totally committed to God, he was still committed to what God had told him to do, because he knew his steps were directed by the Lord. Just like Brother Joseph did the same thing. But the king saw favor in the eyes of Daniel because he was committed. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only way that they could come against Daniel is because they knew that he was, number one, totally committed to the Lord. So he was going to prayer three times a day. So they knew he was committed and disciplined to go to prayer three times a day, because he was committed to his heavenly Father. And they said, you know what? The only way we can snag him, because we know of his total commitment to his God, we can snag him on the things that he's doing for God. Doesn't the devil do that to me and you?
Amen.
Amen. What's he trying to do? Disqualify you from being totally committed. So they set a trail for him. Of course, it didn't happen that way. Right? And the king put out the decree of anyone who was worshiping, whatever, or praying to anyone else besides the king, they would get thrown in the lion's den. So they snagged Daniel. Right? Okay. Alright, so let's go find where that is in here. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And in verse 16 it says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Even the king knew it because of his total commitment. Then a stone was brought over and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him as he slept, as his sleep went from him. I mean, the king fasted for Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually. Do you understand that? The king saw the total commitment of Daniel, and he respected that. An unrighteous king. He ended up fasting. An unrighteous king ended up fasting for the servant of the Lord because of his total commitment. And he said, "Daniel, your servant, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And of course, the men that accused Daniel of this thing were thrown in the lion's den, and they didn't have no favor. they had no favor. Now listen, and the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had lunch, overpowered them, and broke all of their bones in pieces, because before they ever came to the bottom of the den, before they even hit the bottom. Now look at verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do you understand that? Why? Because he was totally committed, wasn't he? No matter what circumstances, no matter what was going on, he was totally committed to what God had sent him to do, even under an unrighteous king. Amen. But the king saw that. Man, we need to be like that. We need to be totally committed, totally sold out in every area of our life. Our life, our family, our finances, our will, our desires, everything. We must be totally committed. And that's what God is looking for right now, so that we can come up to that other level with the move of the Spirit. There's a great harvest going on. And the world is looking at me and you. They're looking at those who are totally committed. You know, there was an individual, and I shared this, I forgot with who, but anyways, this person was smoking cigarettes. Been a believer for a long time. And he was going to go to this pastor, and basically he wanted to share with him. He said, he wanted to quit, right? But he really didn't want to quit. So he thought he'd get his answers. So he asked his pastor, he said, "If I smoke, will it prevent me from going to heaven? Right? If I smoke, will it prevent me from going to heaven?" And the pastor said, and the Bible also says, and he knew, he says, "Well, will God destroy my body because I'm putting harmful things in it?" And the pastor didn't answer either one of those questions. The one thing he asked him was, "What's the most important thing of a believer's life?" And that was to be a witness. Is that a good witness? Is that a witness of the power of God to do the things that you're doing? He said, "Man, I didn't expect that answer." I didn't expect that answer. Is it a good witness of the power of Christ whom you supposedly believe or serve? You know what? That person was not totally committed. But it changed his life and he became totally committed. And God used that man. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll try and squeeze in what we can before the tape runs out. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, this will, if we're totally committed, we want to be a witness of our household, our finances, what God has blessed us with, the material things, and our children, and our relationships, and everything. We want to be a witness. You're on stage all the time. The devil's going to try and snare you up. That's his job. So that he can disqualify you from being a faithful, completely sold out witness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to what? Faithful men who will be able to teach others. These are totally committed individuals who are able to carry the message to someone else without any wavering. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what?
Rules.
Amen. Ain't no shortcuts. We got a song saying, no shortcuts to heaven, right? There ain't no shortcuts to heaven. So we want to be a totally sold out witness for Jesus Christ. Totally committed. Totally committed. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man. I got a few more scriptures, but I think I'm going to have to close it one more because I can't get them all in. But I'm going to give you the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. These are those that are not committed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. Those are those that are not committed. And Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, and verses 29 to 34. Talks about faithful servants. Luke 12, 16 to 21, and 29 to 34. Has everybody got them? And let's go to 2 Corinthians 13 and we'll close here. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Whether you totally committed. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me, for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We'll do a holy hug. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,